on this episode of Rev Hang.
It's like having a little bit of heroin, and then you can't stop thinking about it for the rest of your life. Not that I know what heroin is like, but if it was, if I did, it'd probably be like that.
I knew Ben in high school. I doubt he knows what heroin's like.
Money. 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 Money.
Just barely edging being healthy.
So many Talladega Nights references today. I like it.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to this week's edition of Rev Hang. No shenanigans going on.
We don't know what to do with our hands.
Don't say that.
Anyway, I'm Nathan, as always, and alongside me, again, as always, is my good friend and co-host, Ben Bagley. How you doing, Ben?
I don't know what to do with my hands.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, can I put them in my pocket? You know, there's, you know, implications. Yeah. Or do you keep them above like this?
They always like have to arrest. See your hands.
Keep them on a keyboard?
Sure, you could do that.
Being productive,
which we're not doing at all. We're talking about racing, because this is not a productivity podcast. This is a racing podcast. So let's get right down to brass.
Give me a chance to talk about my sprinklers.
Ben, tell me about your sprinklers.
They're on. That's pretty much it.
I noticed
that
when I came in.
I'm just happy that they're still working.
Good. So not a sprinkler productivity podcast.
That's it. Okay.
It's a racing podcast. So let's jump in. We don't have any paddock news. I'm sure something happened, but nothing notable, at least. So we'll move right into the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix in the lovely sport of Formula One, starting with the top 10 in qualifying. After an eventful qualifying, we had Max Verstappen on pole position, followed by Oscar Piastri and George Russell. Fourth and fifth were Leclerc and Antonelli. 6th through 10 were Sainz, Hamilton, Tsunoda, Gasly, and Norris. Yuki Tsunoda hitting Q3 for the second time in a row. Great stuff.
Out-qualifying Lando Norris.
And Lando Norris, of course, sending his car directly into the wall in Q3, as world champions do.
Hey, Max Verstappen's been there.
Yes, indeed. And in the same track, too.
Yeah.
Also, right before his first world championship. So maybe this is an omen. Wrong corner, though. Yuki Tsunoda did that at the same corner this time.
Yeah.
So maybe Yuki Tsunoda will be the 2025 world champion.
Don't put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
So many Talladega Nights references today. I like it. All right, moving into the race, Piastri and Verstappen battled into turn one. It was a very eventful start of the race. Piastri shoved Verstappen wide. Of course, Piastri was to the apex first. I don't care what you say, Verstappen fans.
Stay mad.
Verstappen came off the brakes and cut the chicane. He would never have made that corner at all. Verstappen cut the chicane to stay in front. He argued that Piastri shoved him off, which kind of was true, but also like,
you kind of have to give a little way.
Come on, man. And so Verstappen got a 5-second penalty for the race he had to serve during his pit stop. Later on in the same lap, Tsunoda and Gasly collided on around turn four, I think, ending both of their races and bringing out the lone safety car of the race. Lando Norris, after the restart, cut through the field very quickly to get up to P4. Piastri passed Verstappen, kind of on pit strategy, also just because Verstappen had that 5-second penalty. So Piastri was able to easily clear Verstappen in the pits. Albon and Sainz worked together to create a DRS train for the second half of the race, keeping the majority of the field behind them. So we really only had a battle for like the top seven positions. Oscar Piastri maintained his lead. Managed the race very well. I think he had more pace in him than he was giving. He was just taking the car home, keeping Verstappen at bay. So it was Piastri followed by Verstappen, and Leclerc in third had a very good race. Lando Norris came in fourth, of course, with a fantastic recovery drive. Then we had George Russell in fifth, and 6-10 we had Antonelli, Hamilton, Sainz, Albon, and Hadjar.
Hadjar in the top 10.
Scoring points for his team. It's what he needs to do. Ben is not 100%, it doesn't appear.
I'm so close.
We're so close.
Just barely edging being healthy.
Moving on. So let's talk about this race, Ben.
Yeah, let's do that.
More specifically, talk about how I think Oscar Piastri is probably currently the betting odds favorite to win the world championship.
Yeah. How early did you decide that? Was it before this race, or was it...
It was after this race.
After this race.
I thought Lando had a couple of hiccups, and I was like, he'll turn it around. It'll get better from here. And then this race happened. Well, Q3 happened, and I was like, all right, Oscar Piastri
it's
is
so
my
over.
Boy. Yeah. It's maybe that's getting a little ahead of ourselves, which of course it is. We're just barely 20% of the way into the season. However, Oscar Piastri is so consistent and so level-headed, whereas Lando Norris is constantly degrading himself and making silly mistakes that appear to just be mental lapses.
The old Charles Leclerc school of thought.
For real.
Surely this self-hatred will help me win the championship.
I really think that Lando is not in the mindset to be able to do this.
No.
He does not deal with pressure very well. And this has been proven time and time again throughout his career. And it's unfortunate. He's had great moments, but when he's really under pressure, he cracks. And Piastri is as cool as a cucumber, as they say. No matter what's going on, he's just as excited if he wins as when he DNFs.
He's been called the second coming of the Iceman.
The second coming of the Iceman, Kimi Räikkönen himself. Even though we saw Fernando Alonso giving the bois.
We got the bois.
The bois on the radio this year.
It was kind of confusing. I spaced out and then I heard that. I was like...
He did it twice, too.
Dad?
Dad? Yeah, I think Piastri, unless something goes seriously different for the rest of the season, obviously Lando is still in it, and Verstappen is as well. It seems like Red Bull is starting to turn the car around a little bit.
They have a comprehensive plan, at least.
They do have concepts of a plan, as they say.
They're so close. They have, what is it, like a three-step plan that they say is going to finish up by Imola and will make the car competitive again?
Something like that. Which is in two races, and I think unless they switched a couple around this year, and it's like weird. But they are also saying that McLaren will start to struggle beginning in Spain due to the regulation changes for the flexi rear wings. I don't know how much truth there is to that. I'm sure McLaren can probably find somewhat of a workaround, and realistically, I don't think it gains them that much of an advantage, maybe a tenth a lap. I don't see that tiny little extra bend in the wing giving them crazy, crazy advantage.
You never know. CFT is crazy, man.
It's possible. I'm obviously not an aerodynamicist. I'm just a guy.
I'm just a guy.
Just a guy.
We don't have enough money for the good CFT software.
No.
SolidWorks is like $1,000 a year for a single membership, a single license.
Yeah, no, I'll pass on that.
It really hurts. Yeah. You go from college and you have like 30 free seats of SolidWorks that you just throw on your personal computer and all the other computers you can get your hands on, and then you graduate and you're stuck out in the dust with, what can you afford nowadays? Fusion 360?
I've never once done any 3D drafting, so I can't relate. I'm
feels
sorry.
Bad, man.
I know. But I do skimp on Photoshop and get GIMP, which is
ooh, there you
just
go.
As good.
Hey, they had a big update recently.
Yes, they did.
It's really good now, apparently.
GIMP is actually super solid for everything I've ever needed it for. So.
Actually user-friendly now?
Yes. Was not user-friendly
it's not
before.
Like, it felt kind of like using Linux, honestly, before.
It did. It's like,
it was like a whole different language.
It feels like this should not work, but it kind of
does. I feel like
does.
I should have a command window open, like doing it by hand.
Yep. But anyway, so yeah, we talked about Piastri. Lando, if he wants to continue to fight the championship fight, really needs to start bringing in consistent wins, because Piastri will if he doesn't. And I really think this is going to be the battle of the season, is Piastri and Norris. I do think that Norris is just kind of in one of those, like, baseball-type slumps where it's like, it looks like it's it's bad, but it's also probably just averaging out.
Yeah. No, it's fine. He just needs to have a pitcher of beer in like a sticky dive bar or something, and he'll be good to go. That's what always helped me.
Yeah, at peak athlete, right there.
A lot of carbs.
Lots of carbs. You got to carb load before those races. But if he can bring it back and start winning races again, I think he'll be just fine, and I think we will get a battle between Piastri and Norris for the championship. Max Verstappen will probably hang in there for quite a while. George Russell is still in it. The man has been consistently top. I think this is his first race without a podium. Maybe he didn't last time, but I don't know. Russell's been, I think, top four every race at the very least.
Yeah, it's been pretty quick. There's a meme going around of does nothing P3 for George Russell, where like you won't really pay attention to what he's doing, and then all of a sudden he'll just, you know, podium, or he'll just like do nothing and he'll just place really well.
Mr. Anonymous. I say top four every race. I see he got fifth this race, but regardless, consistency.
Yeah.
in the second fastest car, that's not too bad. I think we're safe in saying that Mercedes is consistently faster than Ferrari, and Red Bull's probably behind those. But Max Verstappen is doing Max Verstappen things, so yes. But as I say that, Tsunoda does seem to be working with the car better than Lawson was, that's for sure. It seems like the car may be getting better, or maybe Tsunoda is just that much better than Lawson.
Do you think he's doing better than Perez would have?
That's a hard question. That's a tough question.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah, you're making my life difficult, Ben. That's why I appreciate you. So I think Tsunoda is doing a very good job. He's now done. He didn't finish this race, but he did qualify.
I was just looking for him.
He did qualify eighth, and then had very much a racing incident. It was a 50-50 problem. It wasn't really his fault. Just kind of a lap one problem. He got caught up in things. Not a huge deal over the long season. But he's got more pace than Lawson, that's for sure.
Yep. Yeah. Perez, I don't remember how Perez did at the start of last season is the problem.
He usually started the season okay, and then it just kind of, especially around Monaco, is when things always took a nosedive, because he always got his contract extended at Monaco, and then he just did horrible for the rest of the season.
Perez 2024 results.
Oh, it's giving them to you individually. That's fun.
Love that. So cool. He came in second in Bahrain. Okay. Second in Saudi Arabia. Fifth in Australia. Second. He was actually doing pretty well towards the start of the season.
Like I said, he does well at the beginning, and then Monaco happens, and then he's just horrible after that.
Yeah. Do you think the car was also a lot better early in early 2024?
I think the car was better. They did have the thing after, I believe it was Miami last year, where they had to change their brake ducts or something, and then they just had overheating problems with the brakes for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
And that, I think, caused
it just
a lot
fell
of,
off.
Yeah, a lot of problems. But anyway, let's talk about Williams a little bit. Williams has officially come back as a top of the midfield team this year. Carlos Sainz is definitely starting to figure that car out. He did fantastic in Bahrain, if he didn't get absolutely demolished by Yuki Tsunoda. He would have had a very good result. And then in this race, he also did very well to bring the car home 8th place for his first real points finish. He did technically get 10th in China due to all the disqualifications.
Yeah.
But this is his first race where I think you can say, like, okay, he's got solid ground to stand on now. And he is currently tied in the championship with Hajar and Tsunoda. And getting a couple more points will leapfrog him up quite a ways.
Yeah, it was good to see his pace so close to Albon's, too.
Yes.
It makes me feel like the car is kind of, like, this is kind of where the car can be.
Yeah. Yeah, consistently. Because Albon's always been kind of, you know, bottom of the top 10, which is where Williams needs to be this year. So Albon is still consistently bringing home points, even if it's just one or two. And if Sainz can get back on that and consistently do what he did this week, I think Williams will be in a very good spot by the end of the season, probably fifth-ish, if I were to guess, which is where they are right now.
Ooh.
And then last thing, Liam Lawson, we'll just slander him really quick. He's been horrible, even in the RB. The guy, I don't know what happened. He was okay. He was okay last season, and maybe I think this promotion to Red Bull just absolutely demolished any confidence that he had. And so now he just, for some reason, has forgotten how to drive.
That does tend to happen. Gasly was an outlier, I think.
Gasly and Albon was great when he, well, I mean, he was in a Williams. Relatively great.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, Gasly, when he got dropped down to AlphaTauri or Toro Rosso, like, was it still Toro Rosso back then?
It was AlphaTauri. No, he got dropped to Toro Rosso and then podiumed later that year in Brazil. And then it changed the next year to AlphaTauri.
Right.
And Albon was still in the car. Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, he was able to, like, be dropped down, but still have a pretty good season.
Yeah. Which I feel like his demotion was more brutal than anybody else's so far.
Yeah.
Well, except for Lawson's. Lawson's was kind of insane. But also, like, yeah. Now he's just reeling and... Yeah. I still think, I'm still of the opinion they should have given him at least a half a year, but...
Rank post-Ricardo Red Bull drivers in order of how they recovered from their Red Bull demotions.
Gasly's absolutely at the top, followed by Albon. And, I mean, Perez is no longer on the grid. So. maybe Lawson's better than Perez by that logic, but I don't know. So let's go through championship standings real quick. Oscar Piastri has taken the lead. This is the first time ever an Australian has led the world championship. Very cool stuff for him. Very interesting to see his name at the top when we're more than like a race in.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool stuff. The guy has only been in this is his third year in the sport, and he's already starting to run away with this. I won't say that yet, I guess, but he's in the lead currently, which is crazy for a third-year guy who's racing Lando Norris and Max Verstappen for the title. Any other notables?
Antonelli is ahead of Hamilton still.
Antonelli's still ahead of Hamilton.
Which is so funny.
Yeah. Antonelli is crushing it, man. The guy is having the rookie year of his life.
I thought he was super overhyped at the start. I was like,
I thought he was going to tank.
Is way overhyping this kid. He's going to just completely flub it. There's no way he's as good as like Toto Wolff thinks he is. And
he's better.
he kind of is. Yeah.
No, like,
he's kind of actually really good.
They're saying this guy's like the next Verstappen, and I'm like, there's no way. And now it's like I'm looking at this guy who comes into a top team in his first season and is literally just right behind George Russell and is driving as aggressively as anybody I have ever seen. Like, he's making Max Verstappen moves.
Yeah.
In terms of how aggressive he is.
Oscar Piastri wasn't this good in his first year.
No. Piastri did still think I have a seriously good rookie season, but mm-hmm. He wasn't turning heads the way Antonelli is right now.
No, and Piastri is one of the better rookies we've had in the past.
Piastri and Leclerc, wow. And now I think Antonelli are going to be the notable rookies of the recent times.
Yeah.
And I still think Isaac Hadjar is having a fantastic showing in that RB as well. So Behrman's also doing
Behrman's
really
doing
well
great in that Haas.
In that Haas. Bortoleto is on the struggle bus. And Doohan. Doohan and Bortoleto are not.
I had no idea Nico Hülkenberg had 6 points. Where did those come from?
I think Australia.
That is wild.
I think he scored 6 points in Australia because of the crazy rain thing. Also, think about this. If Piastri hadn't crashed or spun out in Australia, the dude, let's just say he would have finished second. The guy would be like 25 points clear of of Norris right now.
There would be papaya rules.
Yeah. It would be pretty nuts. So McLaren, way out in front. They're 77 points ahead of Mercedes in P2. That is a healthy cushion. Especially for it being five races in. Then we have Red Bull at 89. I can't just say Verstappen anymore because Tsunoda does have 5 points. Ferrari, there's a stupid arrow here. Ferrari at 78. Not too far behind Red Bull. And then Williams in 5th at 25, followed by Haas at 20. And Lance Stroll at 10.
There's really kind of no midfield this year, is there? Not yet, at least.
We've got Formula 1 and Formula 1.5. Yeah.
Yeah.
Starting with Williams. Like, the top four teams are going to be the ones that are battling for podiums. With McLaren and Verstappen and possibly George Russell battling for wins. I don't think Ferrari's... Maybe they'll win a race or two this year. I don't see more than that.
It would be super impressive if they did.
I could see George Russell winning a race or two this year. But I think for the most part, it's going to be Lando, Oscar, and Max battling for the wins this season. I don't see any reason to believe otherwise.
We have a new Hamver bot on our hands.
For real, yeah. All right, so let's move into the Pit Stop Championship. Once again, Ferrari with an absolute masterclass in one thing that doesn't matter this year, and that's pit stops.
Classic.
Ferrari and Charles Leclerc came in first place this week, if I can speak, with a time of 2 seconds dead. Pretty fast, fastest of the year, I believe, so far. And Lewis Hamilton in second place, not far behind at 2.07 seconds. So Ferrari is absolutely crushing it on pit stops this year. Then we had Antonelli in third with 2.32. Fourth and fifth were Hulkenberg and Russell. 6 through 10 were Doohan, Stroll, Lawson, Norris, and Hadjar. And once again, Max Verstappen had the slowest pit stop of the week. Serious role reversals going on here. Verstappen on the struggle bus with pit stops. Granted, he had a 5-second penalty, so that's not really a fair thing to say. However, if you subtract 5 seconds from that, that's still a 3.32-second pit stop.
Yeah, still puts him outside the top 10.
Yeah, they probably added a half a second buffer just to make the FIA happy, so they're not like, oh, 4.99 seconds, you gotta do another one. But still. Standings for the championship, pit stop championship. We got Hamilton still out in front at 96 points, followed by Leclerc at 86 and Russell at 61. So, really not even close. In the constructors, Ferrari is in first at 182, followed by Mercedes at 79. So, it's an absolute blowout this year.
It's so weird.
And it's only been 5 races.
Back in my day, Red Bull's the undisputed pit stop champs. They even market, that was part of their marketing and all that. They're like, yeah, look how fast our pit stops are. We have the best training.
Yeah.
We're the best at it. And then they changed the rules and it all went downhill from there.
I mean, they still won the championship. It was either them or I think they won last year. They've won like every year.
Like twice as much.
Right. But this year, Red Bull is sitting in 6th place in the championship at 34 points. Really not great.
Oh, how the mighty have fallen.
Right. Sauber is at 45. All right, let's move on to the overtake of the week. I gave this one to Oscar Piastri for his overtake on Lewis Hamilton. Reminds me of Australia. That's similar overtake. Piastri overtook Hamilton coming out of a corner into a chicane that he had no business overtaking Hamilton into and somehow made it look effortless.
Like Indy 500 offline levels of dust.
Yeah.
Got kicked up.
The guy has a seriously cool head, but is also insanely aggressive at the right times. Like the guy, he knows when to manage his pace and he knows when to push. And he does everything so well. Sometimes he has off weeks. That's the only reason I think Lando still has a chance in the championship, is sometimes Piastri will just be eighth for no reason.
Sometimes he just, he won't even be podium. He won't even be top five. He'll just, completely fail.
But seriously, the guy is on the top of his game in the form of his life at the right time. I don't know if McLaren will be at the top of the field next year with regulation changes. Nobody knows what's going to happen.
Pierre Gasly engines they're going to use.
We don't even know what's going on because they keep saying we have to change something because at the moment the F2 cars are going to be faster than the F1 cars.
Which, to be honest, Engineering Explained did a video on this like a year ago saying that the new cars are going to be slower than the current cars.
Yeah.
And they're just now figuring this out.
They're like, oh, maybe we should make a change. But here's the thing. They've already started development, so if they do change anything, lawsuits galore.
Lawsuits. Audi will probably just explode.
Audi could pull out of the sport. In
which
case,
is where my bet's coming from.
Sauber.
Keep in mind, I have a prediction that Audi will not make it into F1 because they'll just leave.
It could happen. And if Sauber ends up like out in the ether floating out
just
there
disappearing,
just like, we don't have money to do this by ourselves, and Audi just bails, who comes in to save them?
The Saudis, probably.
Andretti Sauber. There it is.
Andretti Junior team.
Yeah.
No, it's probably the Saudis. They've been wanting to get an F1 anyways.
Yeah, get the
or buy more of Aston Martin or
be
both.
Like the Aramco F1 team. Get that green off of the... No, Aston Martin would still be green, but...
They would be... What color would they be?
Probably also green.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the Saudi flag.
Money.
Qatar could also fill the car. They also have loads of money they love to just throw at sports.
Mm, yes.
Anyway, before we start talking about other
it's
Emirates...
Not good. Anyways...
All the Piastri at countries with human rights violations memes this week.
Max Verstappen getting a little cross with MBS after the race.
Yeah, he's like, we're not allowed to say what we think, so I'm just not going to say anything.
When he's putting on his hat, you couldn't hear any of the voices that he was, like, you couldn't hear anything he was saying, but you could hear him, like, just kind of, like, doing this to MBS, and you're like, man.
I don't understand why he was so upset at that penalty. The man knew what he was doing. It was a 50-50 gamble. Either it worked or it didn't. He knew what was going to happen, possibly. And so I don't understand why he was so upset. I get the call didn't go the way he wanted it to, but he still came home second after serving a 5-second penalty, only 2.3 seconds off the lead. The guy had a good race. Don't at me.
I just think it's funny that like it gives an opportunity for him to be mad at the FIA more.
He's always going to be mad at the FIA. That's his
and it's
thing.
Funny every time.
It is always funny, yes. So, with all that being said, overtake the week, Piastri on Lewis Hamilton on lap 21. Let's move into our predictions for the week. Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. Ben, before we give me your top five, we'll go through the top five for everybody else. It was Piastri followed by Verstappen, Leclerc, Norris, and Russell. What did you say, Ben?
I had Norris, Piastri, Russell, Antonelli, and Verstappen with Gasly as my dark horse. I definitely thought Norris was going to recover. I thought he was just going to have one sad boy weekend and then be done with it, and I was wrong.
Yep. I said Piastri, Norris, Antonelli, Verstappen, Leclerc, and Sainz. As my dark horse, Sainz did have a great race. I thought Piastri was going to win, and that's the only thing we got right this week, spoiler alert. so I guess I'll take that. Lando did not come home P2. I thought it was going to be a closer fight for the win. Maybe papaya rules, but that was not needed. Lando decided to get any drama out of the way before the race.
I'll just be bad.
Antonelli also had a decent race, not quite podium worthy as I predicted. But that's okay. Fastest lap went to Lando Norris. What did you say, Ben?
I had Piastri for this one.
I had Antonelli. Again, thought Antonelli was going to have
big
an
on
absolutely
Antonelli. Fastest. Great race. You had him for the Triple Crown.
I did, and it.
Or what is it? Not the Triple Crown. It's the
Grand Slam.
The Grand Slam. But, yeah.
Well, he would have had
Denny's Grand Slam.
He would have had to win and lead every lap for that too, but that's not Grant's. Anyway, driver of the day. Did you say yours for fastest lap? You said Piastri. Yes.
Yeah, Piastri.
Driver of the day went to Max Verstappen. What did
I had
you say?
Norris for this, and in my defense, I think Norris actually probably would have been a pretty good option.
Yeah, I picked up my phone to go vote for Lando Norris during the race while I was watching it, and then I realized I was watching on a like hour and a half delay, and so I did not vote for Lando Norris, but I would have. I said Antonelli.
If Antonelli had done all the things that you thought he was going to do, he would have deserved it.
It would have happened. He did not, so that did not happen. This week, well, 2 weeks from now, we have the Miami Grand Prix the same weekend as the Alabama Grand Prix. So we got two.
Ooh, we already did Barber predictions. I don't even remember that.
We did. I don't either, but I know that it happened. So.
And Palou's on it.
I know I put Palou on the podium. That's for sure. I take my free bingo space. Top five for everybody's favorite street circuit, Miami. What do you got, Ben?
At least it's visually... Okay. At least it's visually interesting.
I started a rant.
It's at least fun colors, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of silly. It's like watching the Barbie... It's like if the Barbie movie was a race. We didn't have the analog before. But now that we have the Barbie movie, we can say that the Miami Grand Prix is just the Barbie movie as an F1 Grand Prix.
I mean, I can't really argue with that.
It's full of bright colors. There's lots of fake set pieces and props.
We love the fake lagoon.
The fake lagoon, we love that. With the fake boats.
It's Miami. They're probably real boats in the fake lagoon.
Maybe.
I don't know.
What else is there? That, I guess that was...
Celebrities.
Lots of celebrity cameos.
Lots of celebrities. Yeah. There will be so many celebrities. In fact, it might be so Barbie movie-like, Margot Robbie might just show up.
Honestly, I wouldn't put it past her.
I think she's been to F1 races before. Probably Miami or probably, Vegas.
Honestly, probably more than we have.
That's a low bar,
man. Which is kind of sad. You always think about like all the celebrities. Like, oh, they're fake fans. They're just going here for the publicity and all that. Yeah. But like, they've been to more races than we have.
Well, some of them are real. Like
some of them are.
Like Terry Crews is like super big F1 fan now.
Yeah.
I was listening to a Bert Kreischer podcast, and he's talking about, he's like, I have watched every race this year. He's like, I am so into it.
I was more thinking like the DJ Khaleds.
Yeah, and DJ Khaled.
The Taylor Swifts and the...
She's been there a couple times. Maybe Taylor Shaq Swift. Has been to Shaq. Quite a few of them. Yeah. But, anyway, lots of celebrities.
Man, I wish I was rich.
That'd be nice, right?
I'd be an even bigger F1 fan if I was rich.
Yeah. I'd go to every
objectively.
Race.
Yeah.
All right. Top five, Ben, for Miami. What do you got?
I've got Piastri, Russell, Norris, Verstappen, and Antonelli with Sainz as my dark horse.
I have Norris, Piastri, Verstappen, Russell, Leclerc, and Hadjar as my dark horse.
Hmm.
I think Hadjar will have a decent race.
A little Antonelli-Leclerc swap, too.
Sure. Yeah. I don't think Hadjar is going to be top five, candidly, but...
I don't think Sainz is either.
I don't think it's fair quite yet to put Hamilton as a dark horse, so...
Especially since we don't even know if he's going to come in top five. Yeah, why would
exactly.
we?
Yeah. All right, fastest lap. What do you got, Ben?
I've got Lando Norris for this one.
I have Oscar Piastri. Driver of the day, would you say?
And I've got George Russell, because if he comes in second, that would be pretty cool.
And I have Isaac Hadjar. Yep.
If he comes in fifth, he's getting it.
If the man scores more than 1 point, I don't know. That's probably not true. All right, Ben, you've got questionable words of wisdom this week. Why don't you hit us with it?
I really want a race car. These are not words of wisdom. The words of wisdom are paused. I've gone down a rabbit hole. I found an Xterra on Craigslist last night, and it spiraled from there because it was gone this morning. It was really nice. It was a 6-speed manual. And it got me thinking about project cars. And I was like, man, I want a project car more still. And then I saw a Formula 500 car for sale on Craigslist in Salem. I think it was in Salem. And that got me thinking, and an even further rabbit hole of F600, or Formula 600 racing. And I really want one. And I really want it. I want to be a race car driver so bad.
Ben, you have my full support.
Thank you. I really want an F600 car. I want to get my SCCA comp license. I want to retire, and I want to just travel across the U.S. going to fundraising events and hill climbs for the rest of my life.
If you can figure out how to retire at, what, you're like 26, I think?
25.
25? We're the same age now. If you can figure out how to retire at 25, please let me know how to do it.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
Okay, thank you. Yes, being a race car driver would be awesome. It is also on my bucket list. I have more dirt track aspirations than Ben, but also, like, it's probably because of where we live and that there's not a ton of events near us on the West Coast, if we're not in California, which we're not. I mean,
there's some autocross and hill climbs in Willamette Valley, but aside from that, like,
I mean, doing autocross in the Valley River Center parking lot is not super glamorous.
Hey, listen, they do autocross at the Willamette Pass parking lot too sometimes.
We love parking lots here.
We love parking lots. And there are actually some cool hill climbs. There's a hill climb in Oak Ridge that's apparently actually pretty skookum.
I have heard of that one, yes.
And that would be so much fun. The problem is I got enough of just like a little taste of racing in college and driving fast cars with full racing slicks that, like, it's like having a little bit of heroin and then you can't stop thinking about it for the rest of your life.
Words of wisdom, Ben.
Not that I know what heroin is like. But if it was, if I did, it'd probably be like that.
I knew Ben in high school. I doubt he knows what heroin's like. Yeah, that would be very fun to be a race car driver. In the years to come, I see myself in the Midwest where there are more things to do race car wise. So
yeah,
maybe in my future.
Or Michigan area.
Michigan area would be.
If we lived in like Jackson, Michigan, I mean, you're in the middle of it.
Yeah. I mean, we're looking in. I mean, this is getting really into the personal life now, but Indiana and like central southern Michigan are definitely up there on the list.
Dude, honestly,
for very many reasons other than racing. I kind of, for being somewhat responsible.
I kind of vibe with central Michigan. It's kind of sick there. I kind of love it. It's like here, but with more trees
and more snow.
More snow. You get the lake effect. Yeah.
Yeah.
When we went to Jackson in 2022 for racing, I actually kind of fell in love with that area. There's like small towns kind of dotted around just in the middle of the woods. There's a lot more people, but like, it's pretty cool. All
right. So next year, Ben and I are moving to Michigan.
No, I don't know about that.
Kidding.
I like having a desert nearby too, though. That's the problem.
Have you been to Indiana? It's desert with grass.
Yeah, but then I don't have mountains.
The mountains are also very good. Yes. I'm going to miss the mountains when I leave Oregon. I will say that.
And the coast.
And the coast.
And the rainforest.
Pennsylvania is also on our list, which has all those things. So
Pennsylvania has a rainforest?
Does not have rainforest, but yeah, it has mountains and coast.
Oregon has a coast, a coastal mountain range, a vibrant farming valley area. It has
extremely vibrant.
Several coastal river areas, massive inland rivers, way more lakes than most other states. It's got an incredible desert, a great like backbone of Cascades Mountains, and you have rainforests in addition to like arid badlands and meadowland and like the cool alkali lakes and stuff like that down south.
I do think like Oregon, Washington, and California are probably the most geographically diverse states in the country. I don't think it's even close.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think Oregon even more so than California. It's beautiful here, and I will miss the scenery for sure. There's other things I will not miss, but
the racing is much better in Michigan.
The racing. Ben. That's why we're here. It's a racing podcast, not a geography podcast. So, with all of that, you got one more thing to add?
Racetrack geoguessr maps.
We could do that.
Like a racing thing geoguessr?
I mean, that's a thing. People do that.
That'd be kind of fun to do.
We could do that. We could farm those views.
I'm surprised we're not doing it right now.
I have a GeoGuessr subscription that I accidentally auto-renewed for my yearly like 3 days ago. So
oh, good.
I am all set.
My GeoGuessr prescription is mooching off other people's GeoGuessr subscriptions. So
do they not like IP lock? No, that's not a thing GeoGuessr would do.
No, I just get myself invited to other people's parties.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
That's fine. Anyway, with all that being said, and all those words of wisdom, thank you everybody so much for watching and or listening to this episode of Rev Hang. If you enjoyed it, leave a like or rating on the platform you listened on. If you want to see updated standings from IndyCar or F1, go to our website, revhang.com. You can follow us on social media at Rev Hang Media on TikTok, Instagram, all the things, YouTube as well. That's kind of the important one, but you're probably already there. Maybe
you're on Spotify just thinking about what we look like.
I mean, you could find out.
Wishing you could see us.
If only there was a way you could see us literally any other platform than Spotify. if you want to follow me on Instagram, 2N_squared. If you want to follow Ben, it's Benji Meets World. We'll be back in just a couple of short weeks to talk about the Formula One Miami Grand Prix and the IndyCar race at Barber Motorsports Park in
Alabama.
Birmingham, I think. It's in Alabama. Somewhere in Alabama. Not Talladega. Notably.
Let's see. Is that in Tennessee?
I think it's in Alabama. I might be wrong. We gotta find out now. But while Ben is searching that up, it's in Alabama.
Shit.
Thanks everybody for watching. We will see you next time. Until then, I've been Nathan.
And I'm Ben.
Thanks for hanging out.
See you later.